Hi, today is September 11th, 2016, and this is Mobile Views Podcast number 174, the Apple iPhone 7 edition. And I'm Todd Ogasawara, good friend John Westfall.
With nothing removed. We haven't taken out any important pieces, so no one should get mad at us our Apple iPhone 7 edition.
And on a more serious note, I guess we should observe that today is 15 years since 9/11. Hey, were you in New York at that time, John, or is that...
No, that was before I had gone to New York. I was in Akron, Ohio.
Okay, and I was where I am right now, in Honolulu, Hawaii. It was quite a day. In any case, wanted to mention that and in remembrance of that. And before we get started with the lighter stuff, and the first lighter thing is that if you have an Amazon Echo, Twitter released a new skill, which is what the... what Amazon calls their app-type things for the Echo. And it's called a Twitter Reader. It's free. Like, so far, I think every skill is. I don't know if there are any paid skills. But anyway, this one, you authorize it to look at your Twitter account. And then you can ask it a variety of things, including... let me go to my notes. Twitter, what's happening? You can ask it for what's happening in your area. If it knows where you are, you don't even have to say where your area is. But you can say ask if anybody has mentioned you, if anybody has retweeted you, and those kind of things. So it's got quite a few things it can do.
That just sounds kind of sad that you're asking Alexa if anyone likes you. But
well, you know, some of us have friends, so
you know, we live Alexa, in hope. Alexa, on the wall. Yeah. Is anyone talking about me today?
Yeah. We live in hope. We always live in hope.
Exactly.
I'm getting a reminder I need to pay for something. Okay.
What reminder noise was that?
Huh?
Oh, okay. What noise was that?
One was an iPhone 6 Plus and one was a Nexus 6. I have two phones in front of me. So you got.
And they both want you to pay your bills at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. My monthly parking for the near the office. Anyway. Next up is something I was waiting for, and I'm not so sure I'm waiting for it anymore. And there's a rumor in The Verge that a new 7-inch Android tablet with Google branding, not Nexus this time, I guess, probably Pixel, may be coming out around the same time as the new phones, whatever replaces the 6P. So if you had asked me a year ago, I would have been very, very interested in this because I have the first generation Nexus 7 tablet that is pretty long on the tooth, I guess the saying is. It's getting kind of sluggish. Actually, it's very sluggish. Even after I remove apps and, you know, clean up the memory and all that kind of stuff. A year ago, I would have been extremely, extremely interested in a new Nexus 7-like tablet with a modern CPU and all that. But now, with the Chromebooks coming out with Android apps, maybe not so interesting. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Yeah, it always seems like you get just a little bit too late on some of this stuff. You know, this would have been great if you had had it last year.
Yeah,
or whenever.
Yeah, and you know the really great thing about the original Nexus 7 tablet was not just its size, because this came out before the first iPad Mini, so it was the first, well, one of the first. It wasn't actually the first. It was one of the first really usable mini tablet form factors. The other one, I think, was the Samsung Tab 7, which I also have, that I also liked a lot. And actually performs a bit better than Nexus 7, given that they're about the same age. But anyway, I hope it's affordable. It was $200 for the original Nexus 7. And the Nexus originally started as a very affordable line of phones and tablets, and then they became the same price as everything else, losing that advantage, I think. But in any case... and before we get on to the our main topic, really our only topic after this, the iPhone 7, I did want to note, I was looking at the comparison chart for the currently available iPhones, and I noticed that the 64 gigabyte version of the iPhone 6 and 6, I should say 6S and 6S Plus, are gone. You can only get the 32 or 6 or 128 gigabyte models. There's no sweet spot 64 gigabyte 6S or 6 Plus anymore.
Yeah, Apple has really decided to kind of go all in the sense of, if you want to do everything that your iPhone could ever possibly do and store a lot of content, you are going to have to go to 128. And unless you are, like myself, very kind of happy with cloud services and stream most everything to your iPhone, that's really all the only people that will be able to get away with 32 gig anymore.
Yeah.
And I can kind of understand that, because if you are a heavy content user and you do load up your phone with a lot of music and a lot of videos, then 64 probably was small, even at 64. But because I remember my 64 gig iPhone 6 Plus, last I checked, before the unfortunate events I'll talk about later, it was at about 55 gigs used, and I wasn't trying to store a lot on there. I was just storing maybe 4 gigs of music, and then the rest was a lot of pictures and things like that that were locally cached. So I kind of think 32, 128, yeah, there's a huge jump there of 90-some gig, but I think I kind of see where this is going, that Apple basically says, we think there are two ways that you're going to use our devices. If you use them one way, 32 is plenty big, and if you use them another way, you need at least 128.
You know, I would have disagreed with you a week or two ago, but I think I'm coming around to your point of view in that particular one. I'm having to look at my iPhone 6 Plus right now, which is two generations old. It was a 64 gigabyte model, which really means you have about 55 gigabytes actually accessible to the end user. And I'm looking at it now. I have 1.7 gigabytes free, and that's only after deleting some apps and cleaning up, using Google Photos' new Save Some Space feature and that sort of thing. And looking at it, I've got, 27.4 gigabytes of photos and little video clips on here. And that's a vast, I've only got 3.4 gigabytes of music. So for me, it's a camera.
And I guarantee you, one thing you'll do if you want to save a bunch of space, just turn off iCloud or iPhone or Photos for a little bit, you know, delete out your local copies, and then turn it back on. And you'll basically get rid of the cache, get rid of the local copies, and everything's still in iCloud. You just don't have all the localness, so it takes a few seconds to load a photo and things like that. So you get all the thumbnails.
Except even with my paid iCloud account, I don't have 27.4 gigabytes free. But however, I do back it up to Google Photos, which is not the same thing. So the difference for folks who may not know is, when you back up a photo to iCloud, I believe it backs up the original photo, unmodified.
Yes.
Google, although it says it will store anything free lower than 16 megapixels, I believe it does do some compression. So if you save your photos to Google Photos and bring it back down, it's not exactly the same.
Yeah, my suggestion, and I might be biased because this is my method, so I guess that's why it's my suggestion, is what I do is I have Dropbox photo sync turned on for my Dropbox account, so the camera uploads the original photos, the original videos. And what I simply do is I do run Google Photos. It's where I kind of keep my working archive, where I can get to whatever I want, whenever I want, and it's nicely laid out. But once a month, I make sure everything's uploaded to Dropbox. I then clean out that Dropbox folder and archive the originals on my home server. Mm-hmm. So if I need the high-res original files, I have them. I just have to do a little bit of digging. And for 99% of the time, I can just go to Google Photos and say, here's what I was doing a year ago or 2 years ago or whenever that was. So I think it's a nice sort of in-between road where I still have the original files, but you don't need the original files all that often.
Yeah, except for photos. What I was going to say is, I agree with the way you do it, and that, you know, I haven't done it that way. But one thing I was just thinking, you know, I do have a terabyte of OneDrive. I was going to say SkyDrive. I do have 1 terabyte of Microsoft OneDrive available. The only thing is, the OneDrive app that was supposed to back up all my photos stopped working about a year ago. So I haven't been using the backup photos. Maybe I should try it again when I get my new phone.
I just worry that Microsoft, Google, and perhaps even Apple at some point, they just can't keep their grubby little hands off the idea of optimizing photos and downgrading things like that. So I really don't want to depend on any cloud service to store my permanent backup of photos. I'd like to have those somewhere. The only cloud service that I do allow to touch them is CrashPlan, because it's what backs up all of my computers to the clouds.
Right. Although it is very nice to have it in Google Photos, because the search capability is just far superior to anything I have on my my local device, you know, including the iPhone or iPad.
But yeah, when it comes to who's doing photos the most right these days, it has to be Google.
Yeah.
Apple maybe does the most right when it comes to editing on device and seamless putting into different things on an iPhone. But in terms of who has the most feature-rich and the best deal out there, it's Google, hands down.
And, you know, I should note that although 64 gigabytes was almost enough for me to last 2 years without running out of space and deleting photos, because I really loathe deleting photos off my mobile devices. Nothing technical, just a superstitious behavior, really. But in any case, you know, even though the photo size, I think both of these devices are still 12 megapixels. They haven't increased the number, which I'm grateful for, because I don't want to get past 16 megapixels, which means Google Photos won't store it for me. Or I'll do more compression, I guess I should say. But more importantly, you know, I think the live photos and maybe that new sort of the new portrait mode photo where they do that, I can't remember the name of it, it's a Japanese word too, I should know it, the way they blur the background and keep the person in the portrait in focus, I suspect that's going to use up a lot more bytes per image than a conventional still photo. So I should take a look at it. I do have some live photos that I've taken with my iPad Pro Junior, but I haven't checked the file sizes to compare them to a regular JPEG. So, you know, I don't know how much more it stores to get that motion capture kind of thing.
Well, and this does kind of bring us into our next point of what did we buy this week?
Yep.
Because we do have these new things all popping up. As you wrote in our show notes on 9/13, we have the iOS 10 release date. I was playing with iOS 10 last week. It seemed pretty good. 9/16 iPhone 7 available, and 9/20 Mac OS Sierra. I'm actually running Mac OS Sierra on the computer I am talking to Todd on right now.
Yeah,
and it seems pretty stable. No problems. Thankfully gone are the days when you would do a Mac OS upgrade and half the things would break.
I think your birds are disagreeing with you.
Well, you know, their computer over there really doesn't do much at all, and I don't even think it's a real computer. It's just kind of a thing they set up and call a computer. So, you know, what do they know about computer technology?
All right. So, moving on. What did we buy? First of all, when are you scheduled to get yours, more or less? Are you supposed to get yours on the 16th or a later
date? So, that's a good question. I will actually look it up as we're talking, because I haven't seen any, according to when I ordered it, on the fateful night that I woke up at 2 a.m. my time. I actually woke up at 1:50 without my alarm that night, which must mean something.
Now,
I'm getting very used to these 12 a.m. PDT or PST, whichever time of the year we're doing this in. Always PDT for iPhones. I'm very used to this now, apparently. So let me log in, and I will tell you. But according to that point, it was 9/16. I was supposed to see mine.
Okay, so what time were you able to purchase yours in Pacific Daylight Time?
But about 12:05, I'd say. I did it through the app.
Okay.
And according to this, my iPhone 7 Plus 32 gigabyte black Verizon wireless is delivering on September 16th by standard shipping.
Okay, so by the time we do our next podcast, you should have yours. I, on the other hand, I ordered it an entire 8 minutes after you, at about 12:13 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And unlike you, I can't even get to the Apple Store right now on my phone, actually. It says cannot connect to the Apple Store, although I do have network connectivity. Anyway, it told me sometime mid-October, I think.
Well, and one of the reasons I actually decided to do the downgrade from 64 gigabytes to 32 was I did not want to wait an extra 10 days.
Oh, so you think it's the model size. You think that the 32 gigabyte is less popular and so more shippable, I guess.
When I looked 5 minutes after midnight, the Jet Black, which of course was more popular – 128 was at 9/26 for the date, so yeah. 10 days after.
Right.
And then the iPhone 7 Plus 32 gig black was at 9/16. Mm-hmm. So I kind of made a quick 30-second decision, which I'm still wondering. I will admit that I'm still wondering if I should have gone for the 128. The only thing that actually makes me feel really better is that gone are the days of subsidies.
Mm-hmm.
So I paid full price for this, and if I find out that I need 128, I don't feel so bad about selling this one on eBay or selling it wherever I want and just upgrading to the 128, mm-hmm. because honestly, I'm looking at maybe a $300 difference when it's all said and done, depreciation mm-hmm. on the old one, picking up a new one. So it's a mistake that I could fix, and it could also mean that I wouldn't feel bad about buying a new one next year and going to the 7S Plus, presumably, at 128. So, yeah, that's where I'm at with what I bought. And I also bought the iPhone 7 Plus silicone case.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, do you want to talk cases now, or do you want to wait on cases?
I just wanted to mention, when I decided to pick up, I went with the 128 gigabyte black, not jet black, because I understand the jet black one is a fingerprint magnet.
And I figured mine was going to be in a case 99.99% of the time anyway. Mm. So
it didn't really matter.
Well, jet black seemed really attractive to me, yeah. And if all things had been equal, I probably would have gotten it. I decided to just go with the regular black.
Okay. So I went with the 128 because, you know, as I've mentioned before, my iPhone is my main camera, really. I've got literally thousands of photos that I take every 2 years. I did go with the Apple, whatever they call that plan, where you can basically, you know, you pay interest-free monthly installments, and the next year you can choose to upgrade by turning your old phone and getting the new one. So I did choose to go with that. I forget what the program is called, but whatever it's called, that's what I went with.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, can I get to their iPhone? Doesn't really say.
Whatever. Yeah, I thought about that plan. The only reason I haven't done it is because I'm not modern enough to think about it that way.
Yeah.
It's kind of like in fact, my 6 Plus, which we'll talk about what my 6 Plus is doing right now because it's not with me, it's actually going probably to a friend of mine who's offered to buy it. So I do tend to turn them over, but I always like the option of holding on to them, I guess.
And so far, I've been the same way. This is the first time I've gone with it. It's the first time I've had to pay full price for a phone. I guess with the exception of my Nexus 6, which I paid full price. But I also did the interest-free thing with Google on that one, so I'm still paying mm-hmm. off that phone. But it's not very much. It's like $20 a month, you know, for the Nexus, since just under 50, I think, for the iPhone, because it also includes Apple Care. So
yeah, that is a nice bonus for that
phone. Yeah, well, I don't know if it's a bonus. You're still paying for it. But at least you got it, right? You've got the phone. You've got Apple Care. And, you know, the option to upgrade next year without paying a penalty or anything like that. Okay, cases. I tell me again which case you bought?
I bought the silicone case, the OEM $39.99 iPhone 7 Plus silicone case in black.
And what does it cover exactly? Does it cover the back as well as the...
It just covers the back. The back, the sides. And it's basically... Because I have the leather cases for the 6 Plus.
Yeah.
And I decided to not go with leather because I was not very happy with the way they wore over the 2 years or year and a half that I had each one of them.
Yeah, so I'm thinking about... I haven't bought a case yet, and I'm thinking about buying the OtterBox Statement Series case for the iPhone 7 Plus. It's also $39.95. It's only available through Apple. You don't even see it on OtterBox's own website. It does not look quite as protective as their Defender series, which is kind of like an armored little mini tank that goes around your phone. It does say, let's see, what does it say? It's designed for the blah blah blah, clear back made to show off its beauty, nice leather accent. I don't know what that means exactly, looking at the case. I guess it's full leather or something. Although it says leather crafter, so whatever. But you said you weren't happy with the leather scene. And it comes with an OtterBox certified drop plus protection seal, whatever that means. But, you know, I do like OtterBox devices. They are rugged. They are protective. I haven't quite decided. The other option I'm looking at is there's a company probably none of you have ever heard of called Unicorn Beetle. And I bought a case.
I want to know about this company now. That's a nice name for a company.
So I never heard of them until last year when I got my Nexus 6. And just, I was kind of desperate for a case, and I looked at this one on Amazon and said, oh, this looks pretty good, reasonably priced, it was less than $20. And it comes with a holster thing, which is useless, but the case itself is great. So I'm thinking about getting the same kind, the same case, essentially, except fitted for the iPhone 7 Plus. It's $19.49 on Amazon, ships Prime. Comes in a couple of different colors. I prefer a black one, but then I wouldn't know which phone I'm looking at, so I might get a different color just to, you know, be able to identify my phone by color. Black would be the Nexus 6, and, you know, blue or something would be the iPhone. But it is a pretty rugged case. You know, I have dropped my Nexus 6 once or twice on the ground, and everything has survived just fine, including the screen. And in fact, it comes with a screen protector, and the unique thing is the screen protector, you don't have to, you know, do the application and get the bubbles out and all that. It is part of the case. So when you slip it into the case, the screen protector is just right there on your screen. You don't have to push it down or anything. It's just fitted right away. There's no bubbles or anything. There's no adhesive. So that's kind of neat. As I said, that's kind of a holster thing, which quite frankly I found useless and never used. Well, I tried to use it once and found it unusable. So, you know, probably just throw that away as soon as it comes in. but the case itself is pretty good. It's cheap. It's, you know, half the price of the OtterBox. And comes with a screen protector. Although it is a bit thick. So one of the side effects of this armored case for my Nexus 6 is I can no longer use it with Qi charging, you know, the wireless charger. It's literally too thick for Qi charging to work. But anyway, that's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, and for both years that I've used the iPhone 6 Plus, I had the leather case on it probably the majority of the time. Two of them I've gone through. Both of them have just, they get scuffed and then the leather starts to peel back. And it just, it's not what you would want from a $50 case. The first time I paid $54, the second time I paid $25 on eBay, I picked up a used one. So I'm hoping the silicone case has a little bit better wear to it. Because I do like Apple's cases. I do find that theirs feel pretty good in the hand, and I'm just hoping that the silicone doesn't annoy me in the hand. But that's what I decided to try out. And it is also shipping. It's going to be here sooner than the iPhone. So I guess I'll get to play with the case on September 14th. So I'll have a couple of days to decide if I like that case or not. And if not, I might be on Amazon picking up something else.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Maybe I should do that. The OtterBox Statement Series case for the iPhone 7 Plus, as I said, only available on Apple.com. Ships 2 to 3 weeks. So it's a race between it and the phone. And I won't see either one till October.
You're just, you're not going to have any fun.
No, I'm going to have to live vicariously through you, as usual.
Yeah, one of us had to take the inferior model and get it early so that we can provide the service to our listeners.
Well, you know, I always live vicariously through you. You know, you bought the iPad Pro Senior, which for many months I did not have an equivalent of. And finally, I did buy the iPad Pro Junior, which I'm pretty happy with. I should note, I think the iPad Pro's got a little nudge. The iPad line got a little nudge when the iPhone 7 was announced. So, you know, they're all the same models. They haven't changed any model names. I don't know if there's different model numbers, but I think there's a little bump in some processor speed, maybe, and some price changes, like downward price changes.
Well, that would be that does sound about right. And I think the iPads will get a little bit of a bump because the memory configuration now matches between the iPhones and the iPads.
Mm.
So if anyone was ever buying a 64 gigabyte, I think the only thing you can maybe get 64 gigabyte anymore is the iPad Air 2 and maybe the iPad Mini.
Yeah.
Everything's kind of going to this 32, 128, 256.
Yeah.
Which honestly makes at least more sense. It used to be that every single thing had its own memory configurations.
Right.
Some had 8, some had 16, some had 32, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you know, I don't mind the 32, 128 gigabyte jump gigabyte jump for the iPhone series. But I do object to that huge jump for the more expensive iPads in some respects. So, you know, it would be, because 64 gigabyte is still the sweet spot for me for an iPad of any kind, whether it's a mini or a pro or an Air or whatever. you know, most of us, well, although you and I both see a lot of people taking photos with tablets, I doubt if they take as many photos as we take with our phones, for that, for example. And I think you take as many, if not more, photos than I do with your phone. But in any case, I did want to mention a couple of things about the devices that's new to me, and also what's new to everyone, because some were a little surprising before we get to some more questions for each other. And that's sort of new to me, but not to John or other folks maybe, is that it now has live photos, which, you know, came out last year with the 6S model. So I'm looking forward to that. And like the 6S models, it also has 3D touch. So I don't know if I'm looking forward to that, because it doesn't seem like anybody uses that when I talk to people.
Well, these are actually going to both be new for me as well, because I've never had the only thing I've had that has force touch is the Apple Watch.
A watch, right.
I do actually think the 3D touch might be useful to me, because now developers have had a whole year to build it in, and I'm hoping it's useful to me. But I don't know if anyone really uses it, because the people I know that have 6S's are not what I would consider power users, my friends that have them. So it could be a very good feature, and they just never bother using it because they don't use any feature other than just tap on the app and, you know.
My wife has a 6S also, and she's also not a power user, so exactly the same.
Yeah, well, I'm comparing my mother and my mother-in-law. They both have, at least my mother-in-law has a 6S. My mom might just have a 6.
Okay.
And I've never really heard my mother-in-law talking about using that on her 6S at all.
And next up, speaking of Force Touch or 3D Touch, I guess, and the iPhone 7. So now the home button is no longer mechanical, right? And it also is based on Force Touch. I think I saw one reviewer, might have been somebody on The Verge, saying that it was terrible. So I'm not quite sure what to expect, but the home button is no longer mechanical. I wonder if you still use it to do a, you know, kind of a forced reset on your iPhone when needed. You know, what happens if Force Touch or 3D Touch stops working? That's a nice thing about mechanical. You know, unless it's broken, physically broken, you'll keep working.
The Force Reset might do something along the lines of what Microsoft does with the Surface Pro, where it's, you know, up arrow, up volume, and home or power.
So both are still, but both which are physical switches.
Yes.
Yeah, and the new home button is no longer a physical switch, apparently.
Yeah, so we might not see the home button used for that. We might see those two physical switches used.
Yeah, okay. All righty. I see what you're saying. Got it. The next thing that's new is a splash and water-resistant, not waterproof, by the way, so you can't, like, drop it in, you know, go swimming with it, which is, I don't know why you would. So unlike the Watch Series 2, it is not waterproof. But I assume if you drop it in a sink or something, you know, or whatever water source you drop it in, it should survive a lot better. More interesting to, I mean, that's interesting because it rains a lot where I live. And, you know, I'm always like, oh, God, it's raining heavy. I have to go stick it somewhere where it's, you know, nice and dry. Or, in fact, I started carrying a Ziploc bag just big enough for the iPhone just in case, you know. The other thing is the 7 Plus, which you and I both bought, now has dual rear-facing cameras and claims to have 2x optical zoom. And although it won't be available when we get it, there's a app upgrade, I guess, that Apple says they'll have. It said they will have in the keynote that will give it not quite Lytro-like features, but will do things, as I mentioned earlier, like bringing a person in focus and blurring the background, that sort of thing. So, you looking forward to that one? Take pictures of your birds and your cats? And
I am. You know, I'm looking forward to the camera upgrades in general, just because I use mine as pretty much my primary camera. I have an older point-and-shoot that I still use here and there, but I would like to just be able to take the 7 Plus, and I'm hoping it can, on vacations and such, be my only camera. I'll also mention, as we were talking, as you were introducing that, the new Force reboot on an iPhone will be hold down the power. What is it? See, it's volume down and power button at the same time.
Oh, exactly what you said, just like the Surface.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and most Windows tablets, we should mention that.
Yeah.
Volume. What is volume down and power on?
Yeah, volume down and power for Apple, volume up and power for Microsoft.
Well, they got to be different, right?
Oh, yeah, somehow.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm looking for that. The 2x optical zoom is interesting, you know, because generally speaking, I don't zoom with my iPhone because I'm just making the pixels bigger. It's easier to crop, really. But if it has, actually, I don't understand how this 2x how it can be a true optical zoom, but you know, we'll find out when we get there, I guess. Let's see. Next up, this is not important for you and me since we have the 6 Plus devices, which came with optical image stabilization. But the smaller 6 and 6S did not have optical image stabilization for photos. The 7, this new smaller iPhone 7, will. So you don't lose out on what I think is a pretty important feature if you take a lot of photos. And the next item is, again, something I don't think I'm really excited about although the people in the keynote seem really excited. And that's the iPhone 7 has stereo speakers. I don't know. What do you think about that? I listen with headphones.
Yeah, I always listen with headphones, too. It'll be great for the, you know, few moments when I pull out my phone and want to show someone a YouTube video or something.
There you go. Okay. And for those people who, you know, hold their phones in front of their face with the bottom towards your lips and apparently listening to the speaker at the furthest possible point from the ear, those folks walking down the street, they'll like this because now the speaker will be on both ends. And one, I'm not an engineer. I'm not a EE. I can't figure this one out. How they claim the 7 and 7 Plus has faster LTE than previous models, 450 versus 300 megabits per second. So I would think that would be a network limitation, but...
Who knows?
Yeah, I guess they did something to radios. Yeah, improved radios, something like that. I've never seen anything even close to 300 megabits per second, so I'm not sure if that improvement trickles down if, you know, you're not getting those kind of crazy speeds. I think the fastest I've ever seen on LTE for my iPhone was maybe just under 50 megabits. I don't know. How about you, John?
Yeah, I've never really tested the speeds on it because it's always been plenty fast on LTE for me. But it, faster the better.
And finally, in terms of features, and new to me and new to you, is that surprisingly the 7 and 7 Plus are slightly lighter than the older 6 model. So that was kind of same physical dimensions, just a little lighter.
That headphone jack weighed a ton.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We lost a headphone jack. Not that anybody doesn't know. which means I have to use that adapter for my noise cancellation headset. You know, because.
Yeah. You will.
Yeah. Okay, so going back up to what did we buy? AirPods, yay or nay?
I will be a yay on them when they come out. I like the Apple EarPods. They're the most comfortable headphones I have, and I do have a couple other in-ear that I've used occasionally and earbuds and all that. I really do like the EarPods. So if the AirPods are the same shape design, I think I will be happy with them. And I just like that they're smaller. And I, even though my Bluetooth headset that I use regularly now, which is basically LG Tone, so it's got the behind the neck sort of skeleton and then the buds come off of the end, I would rather be completely wireless if possible. So I think for $159, I'll give them a shot.
Okay, so I'll note you said when they come out because they won't be out till November, right? Or somewhere in that
time frame. Mid-October.
Mid-October? Okay. So they'll be out by when I get my iPhone.
yeah, exactly.
Well, you can tell me whether or not they're good because here's my problem. I also occasionally wear the Apple EarPods, the current wired model, and one side, the right side, always falls out. The left side fits. I guess I have asymmetric ear sizes, but so you're saying they stick in your ear and stay there?
That and I'm using them right now, and I've never had they don't come out for me. Everything else I've had seems my ears seem
to have symmetrical ears. I'm shocked, and now I wonder about you. But anyway,
shocked too.
But I apparently have asymmetrical ears because the right earbud always comes out. Always, I mean, just always falling out when I wear them.
You just need better ears.
I need an iPhone 7 ear upgrade, I guess. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'll be interested to hear in how that works for you and, you know, how long it takes it before you lose it. and I wonder, you know, there are a couple of Bluetooth apps that help you find Bluetooth devices that you may have misplaced. And I wonder if, I think one is called Light Blue or something like that. Let me look it up. Yep, Light Blue, free app. So, you know, if you misplace, and for me, I misplaced my Fitbit a couple of times. And so I use this app to help me find it. So it'll be interesting to see if that's apps like that are able to detect. I guess it's not Bluetooth, though, right? I mean, it's Bluetooth-like.
It is Bluetooth. It's just Apple has done some nice things to make it.
Only work the iPhone.
it'll I think, work with other things. I actually was looking at the compatibility earlier today. I'll see if I can find the list. But it is Bluetooth, so it should work with those other apps that look for Bluetooth. Yeah, it says available late October. And does it say compatibility on this? Somewhere it does.
Does it work with non-Apple devices, though?
That's a good question. It does not list any, but...
Because, you know, if it is a highly modified version of Bluetooth stack they're using, it won't work with anything except an iOS device of some kind.
I mean, I'm finding a recode.net article saying Apple's AirPods do use Bluetooth and they don't require an iPhone 7.
Okay.
It's just that they probably don't pair as quickly, or there's probably a workaround to get them on something else.
Okay, and for me, it's a nay because I've never bought a set of headphones or earbuds or anything over $100. Actually, I think the most I've ever paid for a pair of headphones is maybe $80 for some noise cancellation, you know, can type headphones years ago. I think I also bought the first Apple, what were they called? It was the one with the soft silicone instead of the hard plastic shell and their standard earbuds. That was $80. And, and that was a pretty decent buy, although it stopped working about 2 years later. But I found out, unlike other earbuds, you can actually disassemble those and fix it, which I did. But I just needed to have some contact cleaning. Okay, so yay for you, nay for me, and the AirPods. I will wait with bated breath to hear what you have to say about that, because I'm interested in them. I just can't see spending that kind of money on something I know I'm going to lose in 24 hours.
Yeah, well, maybe I might just not lose them, and then we'll see how it works.
Yeah. Well, you've got those symmetrical ear things that I don't have, so, you know,
problem. You need an iPhone 7 ear adapter.
Yeah, exactly. I bought some Sugru, which is that moldable glue. Maybe I need to make moldable glue for my ear and just...
Sounds great.
You know.
Just make new ears.
Okay, so next up, something I don't have, but you do, is this Apple Watch. So, which is now, your version is now called the Series 1. They've renamed it, sort of.
And I've actually, even though I like my Apple Watch, I use it regularly, I was thinking on Wednesday I might upgrade, and then as I thought about it Thursday, I thought, no, I think I'm going to wait. Really, the Series 2, the GPS is a nice addition, and there's some other nice features in the Series 2 that I like. I like that it's officially waterproof, although, honestly, people have been talking about how they've swum with their Apple Watches ever since the things came out. So I think that the Apple Watch 1 is pretty much waterproof, just nobody talks about it because it doesn't have the official certification.
You live in a pretty rainy area, as I recall. Do you ever worry about wearing your watch in rain?
I've never worried about the watch. I've worried about the iPhone.
Yeah.
So that's
same with
what
the
I'll
Moto 360,
be.
By the way. I've worn my Moto 360 in heavy and it survived.
Yeah. So I'm not going to upgrade because I'm actually hoping, and I don't know how useless this feature would be, but I'm hoping that the Apple Watch Series 3, whenever it shows up, would actually have a camera in it so that I could do video FaceTime through my watch, even though I don't think I'd ever use it other than to pretend that I was an Inspector Gadget. Because that's where I, you know, have my childhood memory of a watch with a camera in it. So I already have basically a computer book. I just need a watch that I can talk to my dog through. And I don't even have a dog yet. So
Well, it's aspirational on both ends, right? With the dog side.
Exactly.
I should note that I've always noted this, but I am a bit older than you. So for me, it wouldn't be Inspector Gadget. It would be Dick Tracy wristwatch.
Did Dick Tracy have video?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
He had two-way TV communication back in the 1940s. Although I'm not that old, I have read that stuff. He was an advanced detective. You know?
He was.
He had more stuff than Batman in some ways. Okay. Okay, so I did not buy the original Apple Watch. I have no plans to buy the new Apple Watch. If I buy a new Spartan Watch, it'll probably be a Moto 2 or Moto 360 Generation 2 or something like it. But so far, my first generation is nice. The only thing I wish I could do is answer the phone on it sometimes. You know, sometimes I leave the phone on my desk at work, and I'm walking through the office, and it'd be nice if you just answered, even if I'm like 20 feet away from my desk or something. Mm-hmm. But it's not critical. Not critical at all. Okay, now some sad news from you.
Yeah, this is the last piece I have today, and it's sad. A week ago today, my iPhone 6 Plus went digitizer crazy.
Yikes.
I had been having weird issues with the digitizer all summer, where basically occasionally the digitizer would just stop working. I'd have to turn off the screen, turn it back on, so not reboot the phone, but just turn it off and on, and then the digitizer would work just fine. And occasionally it would go into like a, you know, a few hours of doing this regularly, and then days where it didn't. So I thought something might be up. Mm-hmm. But I was out of warranty, so I didn't really care.
I was just going to ask you about that.
Yeah, and so it got to a bad point last Sunday morning. I basically couldn't use the phone anymore. It was randomly tapping odd places. You would just hold the phone in front of you and things would open up. Trying to type on it was pretty hilarious because all of a sudden random letters would just show up and you would go from being somewhat intelligible to being completely non-intelligible. So I contacted Apple support. They said, yeah, sorry, you're out of warranty, but we can repair it. And the repair bill, the max I will have to pay is $359, yes, which is a bit of a choking sort of thing to say, but it's still worth way more than $359. And if it's broken digitizer, it's worth like about $50.
Yeah.
So I sent it off. It went to FedEx drop off yesterday. And it's on its way to Cupertino right now, and I will hear. And there is a chance, especially now that there are some known issues with the digitizers,
yes,
there's a chance I won't be paying as much for it. It really depends on what they say when they get it back and they take a look at it. But that means that I am now living on my wife's old iPhone 5.
Wow, retro.
Yeah, it's a 16-gigabyte white iPhone 5. I've never had a white iPhone, so it looks really strange for me to just look at it. But there's one thing I really noticed. It's 16 gigs, so I haven't loaded a lot of software on it because I can't have enough space. But it's running iOS 9 really well. Hmm. Like I see a lag in opening apps like I would expect with a slower processor.
Right.
But I'm not seeing the crippling sort of thing that we saw back in the mid-iOSes.
Oh,
for example, if you ran an iOS 6 on, you know, an iPhone. Yeah, four, yeah, something like that, and people were crying over that.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Modern Apple devices, let's put to rest this stupid argument of Apple cripples their old devices with new software, because I have proof right here that an iPhone 5 with a fresh install of iOS 10, so that is a bit important. The upgrade was done right when I first got up and running, so it doesn't have any holdover files from previous versions, etc. It's a clean slate, but it runs pretty well, other than just being a little slow.
Okay, very good. Okay, the last item we don't have in our show notes, but I wanted to mention, since I know you already pre-ordered it, and that Think Geek has a Star Trek Next Generation com badge. That is a Bluetooth device that lets you do stuff with your, I guess, your iPhone. Don't know if it works on Android. Didn't really check that far. But it's $79.99 or thereabouts, plus shipping, I assume.
And it should work with Android.
Yeah.
It's just Bluetooth. A Bluetooth headphone.
Yeah, you're supposed to be able to launch apps and do, you know, answer your phone, initiate a call. There are no things you can do with a Bluetooth headset, except it's not a headset. I definitely. Well, you know, it's going to be weird having a bunch of old guys walking around with a Star Trek com badge on. Because, you know, we're going to be able to self-identify now, right? Oh, yeah, another Trek geek. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah. That is true. I mean, this is something that when the when the original communicator came out last year that I had to get, and I'm really happy about that. But I've always been, and though I'm a Star Trek fan, I'm a little bit more of a next-gen fan than an original series fan. So getting the com badge, it's funny. I saw a picture of it posted on, I guess, Wednesday on Reddit or Thursday on Reddit, and I went to Think Geek and I immediately pre-ordered. And later that day, my wife showed it to me, and she goes, "Did you see this?" And I said, "See it? I already pre-ordered it. I pre-ordered it like 2 minutes after I saw it. What are you talking about?" So yeah, this is something that I'm really excited to. I'm just hoping that it's the right size, it's not too big, and I'm also hoping that it works well. But honestly, it's just, I already have the Star Trek Next Gen hoodie that I wear in the winter. That's the command uniform hoodie. So this will go really well on it, and it will actually be functional.
Yeah, talk about self-identifying you as a trekker. That pretty much do it.
It's not that hard.
Alrighty, so Mobile Views Podcast 174, iPhone Sin Edition. Next week we may have a special guest that has a bit of knowledge about the iOS kind of stuff, over and above what even John and I have. So we'll look forward to talking with our old friend if he's able to join us on the pod. In any case, we will talk to you next time, and I hope your iPhones all come on time. I know mine probably.